Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
Well, good morning. All right, I'm going to start off by asking a very serious question. All right, so I want you to take a deep breath. I want you to just kind of get your head in the right space. So it's going to be a serious one. And the question is, what's your favorite burger place? I don't want to start a fight, all right? I don't want anyone to get crazy now. But when you are in the mood for a nice cheeseburger, where do you go? I know some of you are going to say to my grill in the backyard, okay? Yeah, we get it. All right, but I'm just saying, is that when you're in the car, you're coming off the, baseball, soccer, whatever it is, the band, and you're going in for somewhere quick, where are you going to go and get a good quick cheeseburger? I mean, there's a lot of options these days. And I will be the first to admit that eating out has gotten a little more expensive over the last couple of years. And so cheeseburgers are a little bit more than they probably should be. But they, we still get that hunger for that nice quarter pound of beef, whatever it is, when you say we got to go. So what do you crave? Are you kind of a traditionalist? You're going to pull over and go into the McDonald's drive-thru? I mean, it's an American staple, right? So you're going to go get some Mickey D's, even though the dollar menu isn't a dollar anymore. Now, or maybe you got some other place like Steak and Shake, right? That's a good cheeseburger. My kids love going to Steak and Shake. In fact, over the Christmas break, my family and I, we went to California to go see my in-laws. So they're living just outside of Los Angeles. And while we were there, they took us to the famous California burger place that is known as In-N-Out. And I'm going to tell you, when we went to In-N-Out, there was about 5,000 cars in line. I said, are we really doing this? And he's like, we're really doing this. And if you know my father-in-law, we're doing it. And so we park, we wait the 45 minutes to get our burger, and I'm going to tell you right now, I have no regrets. That was a really good burger. I mean, it really was. I get it. I'm just saying, I get it now. But I'll tell you the truth. If my family were coming off the baseball field or something, and we're all kind of in the mood for a cheeseburger, there's kind of one staple that is just our go-to. This is where we're going to go, no questions asked. It's just kind of like, let's go here. And it might be a little bit of the Texan in me, but I'm going to be going to Whataburger, all right? And so I want to go over to Whataburger. And God has been good to me, friends, because He started building them around here. I used to have to travel, back home for that, but they've started to build them around. Now, I also have to have just a little sidebar here and just say that the Whataburgers that are around these parts are really nice. See, you go back home, Lee, you get what I'm talking about, right? Okay, he's already shaking his head. See, to a Texan, Whataburger is basically like Waffle House to us, okay? Like, that's kind of how we see it. It's a little old, the floor is a little dirty, okay? You're going to go in, the lights are flickering, or maybe they're hanging on the wires, right? That kind of like, it's a 24-hour joint. The building is probably built 1965. Like, that's kind of how it is to us. So going into a Whataburger here, like now the new fancy one, they're kind of looking like a Chick-fil-A, really, like bright lights. I walked in the first day and said, what imposter is this? Oh, this brightness and all this stuff. But we'll go there, we'll sit down, we'll have a burger. And in fact, when we go and get that, and we sit down with the family, I particularly love sitting by my children when we eat. So when we get all of our burgers and all of our fries and everybody's got their situated, I like to sit by my children. Oh, yes, of course, it's because they're my beautiful angels, and I love every precious moment that I can get with them. But it's also because they don't always finish their fries. You know, listen, it is the passage, the rite of passage for every dad to take your kids' fries. I mean, it just is. Like, my parents did it to me, and their parents did it to them. It's just a rite of passage. And so I'll sit there, I'll finish my fries first, and then I might kind of go in for a little bit of theirs. And so I may start to take one or two little pieces of fry off their plate, you know. We're having a good conversation, we're having a nice time. I'll slip a fry, particularly baby little Ellie sitting next to me. Hey, baby, let me just get a little of this fries. And you know what? At first, when I started taking one of the fries, you know, they're pretty good about it. They're almost happy to give it in some senses. Like, here you go, Daddy. Right, here you go, Daddy. After all, you provided them. Oh, thank you, baby. All right. It's almost kind of like they're paying a tithe. Here you go. Like, you provided them. Oh, cool. I'll just take my percentage. Thank you very much. You know, a few minutes go by, right? We're still sitting down, having there. They're just, you know, a little slower eating than I guess I am. And so I'm going to go and pick a few more. Now, this time, if they see me coming in the second round, right, at this point, they're probably going to get the fries out, and they're going to start, like, rationing them. All right, so here's the portion, Dad, that I'm setting aside for you. So this is your right. And maybe Josh and Eleanor will get in on this together. Right? Okay, let's a little bit here. And it's like, here's our offering, okay? So I know you're still in one, but here's your offering. Okay, thank you. I'll go for right here. And then, of course, there may come a time that I might see that one of the siblings has finished their fries or eaten all of it, and the other one still has an abundance of fries. And so I might say to one of them, won't you share your fries with the other sibling? And then I get the face. You know what I'm talking about? Just the face. Kind of like this. Ellie does a really good one. You know, kind of like this. And she's like, wait a minute. These are my fries. You wanted me to share them? You've already taken your percentage. You want me now to share them, right? Listen, sometimes our own relationship with giving can always kind of be a lot like this. The way that we kind of maybe see how we use our fries or how we hold our fries can actually kind of speak maybe a little bit into the heart of giving. And so today, this is actually going to be our last message in the Does the Bible Say That series. So starting next week, we have the retreat, but today we're going to kind of end here. And so the last thing that we're going to look at, the kind of thing that we're going to dive into, is what does the Bible say about giving? Let's pray. So, Father, we do pray for your just abundance, wisdom, and discernment, Lord, as we open your word and we dive in and we just explore what it is you want from your people. God, I pray that in my studying and my research and my writing, that, Lord, I come to present your gospel and your truth alone. And, Father, I do pray that at the end of this time together, that we, including me, have a clear, fully understanding of what it is that you want us to do in our lives following you. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I jump in here, and I have a couple of things I want to talk about this, there are a few, that's just something, a little sidebar, if you just allow me to say. First of all, I want to just really take a moment and say that it is so good to see Margaret Howe. Margaret, yes. Where's she? I know I saw her. She was working the room a minute ago. Oh, there she is. Okay. Well, she was over. She was working the room. Yeah. There she is, Margaret. Margaret, it is so good to see you. It's been a few months. So she had a fall. and has been in recovery, and it is good to see you, dear, and we're glad to have you back. And so I just wanted to just make sure, and I'm going to pass that up, and also I want to say happy birthday to Miss Kellner here. Yes, she just turned 21, and so she's going to go have fun later, but we want to say happy birthday to you, my dear. I want to say happy birthday to you. It's so good to see you. And then last thing I want to plug our retreat, okay? That's next weekend, so that's right here, coming up on the cusp here. Make sure you've registered and done all that stuff, and you're like, I don't know if I'm registered. Go see Jeremy. He hasn't memorized. He'll tell you. But make sure you come and join us for the retreat. Our guests are going to be wonderful. And I want you to be here to participate and be a part of that. So that's going to start on Friday night, this coming Friday night. All right. Well, let's jump into here. So before we just jump in today and we start talking about giving and we start talking about all this other stuff, you know, is I want to say this clearly and up front. Today is not going to be some type of guilt trip for you to make a gift or give, okay? We can put that to sleep right now. That's not what today is. It's not a guilt trip to try to make you give or do anything like that. We're not going to take a special offering after I preach today, okay? We're not doing that. In fact, we've already done the offering. That was before, okay? And so there's no gimmick, no trick, no anything. All this is today is just a biblical look at the act of giving. And it's something as Christians that we need to understand and to be a part of. And so we're going to understand the role of giving in the life of Christianity and in our own faith. But in order to do that, we actually must first define the different types of giving that's expressed in the Scripture. And so there are kind of different clearly defined things in Scripture that kind of speaks into the act of giving. Now, when you read through the Scriptures, right, so if you kind of go start from Genesis and you're going to read through the whole Bible and get to the, you're going to see a lot of talk about giving. In fact, there are going to be a lot of subcategories when it comes to giving. Particularly, if you're going to hang out in the book of Leviticus, it's going to come up a few times, all right? But what I want to do today is I actually want to just kind of look at the three big main types of giving that is actually really kind of spread throughout the Scripture. And so here are the three main types. They are tithing, offering, sacrificial. So these are kind of the three main pillars in Scripture about giving. Tithing, offering, and sacrificial. Now the first and perhaps the most common expression of giving is tithing. We just did it. Every Sunday we come up and we have our tithes and our offerings. Now those two are actually separate things. More on that in a minute. But our tithing is a part of our weekly act of worship as the church. And so the very actually first record of tithing, the first time at least on record that we have ever had it or seen it happen before, dates back, all the way back. And then when you think you're there, keep going back. And you go back a little bit more, and it's when Abram, there wasn't even a nation of Israel, that hadn't even been formed yet, but it's when Abram gave a tenth of everything he had to Melchizedek, the high priest of Salem. I mean, there wasn't even a Israel in existence. It was this high priest that was in the city of Salem, and what had happened is that Abram went to battle over the land that his family was in, and God, it clearly the Scripture says, that God gave him the victory, and so he came to the closest city where the battle took place, and so he went to the priest there, and he gave the priest a tenth of everything he had in gratitude for the winning of the battle. So essentially what we see here is that tithing, the act of giving or tithing, was actually forged on the battlefield as a form of battle. Then it was given as gratitude, and it was expressed by giving to the local house of worship. And that's what it was. And so Abram went to battle. God gave him the victory. He went to the high priest. The high priest, he said, here is my gratitude, my gift, right? Here is my giving. And then the priest took that. And that's essentially where it came from. And today, right now, even this morning, we actually still do the same by defining our tithe as the amount that we give to the church. And that practice has carried on ever since. Now, eventually, years later, after that moment with Abraham, and I also just like to mention here what's really interesting, and I do love diving in a little deeper on these things. And so Salem, where Melchizedek was the high priest, eventually that little city is actually what becomes the city of Jerusalem. And so Abram didn't know that at the time, but Salem was Jerusalem, and that was kind of the starting point. And so years later, eventually, when we get to the part of the story where Israel finally made it to the promised land, where was the promised land? That was Jerusalem. Oh, remember back there again. And so now in Jerusalem, a new set of laws would be formed. And so we know this part of the scripture. And so we have them crossing the Jordan. But we have the laws of Moses that were then given. It was these laws, these kind of rules, were to govern the land that Abram fought over. But now they're finally there. They're there. It's the promised land. We finally can come in and call this place home. And so out of this law, and there were 613 of them. So the law of Moses, 613 new laws that were formed, five of them took the act of what Abram did in tithing and giving and then put them into law. So out of the 613 of the Old Testament law, five of them speak specifically about tithing. And so here is what they really kind of say about those things. So those five laws define here, one is how you tithe, but also here's what it's supposed to be used for. And so out of the law, it says that when you tithe, which means tenth, when you tithe, it will be then given to the temple, the place of worship. It is to be used for sacrifice. So it's to be used for sacrifice. So that would be, if it could be like a grain or an animal or something, it would be burned and sacrificed. It would also be used for essentially property upkeep. It was to maintain the temple, right? Like if you build something or you piece it together, it has to be maintained. And so it would be maintaining. And then the last part of it was to be used to support the priest. Because the priest did that full time. So the tribe of Levi did not go to work. They didn't work the fields. They didn't do this. They were responsible for making sure the temple and everything in it was running accordingly to the book of, you know, the law of Moses. So that tithe would actually be used to support the priest and their families. And in other words, that's how they ate, right? That's how they survived. But what's interesting is that according to law number 397, it says that the priests themselves were not exempt from the tithe. So the priests, even though they were dependent upon the tithe, they themselves were not exempt from the tithe, meaning that whatever was given to them out of the tithe, they had to then tithe out of that. There was no exemption here. Then, law 398 stated that on every, this is a kind of unique one, that on every third year, so there was the kind of the standard tithe, right? But on every third year, a special tithe was to be collected. And so this tithe, according to this law, was to be shared, not with the priest or the temple, it was to be shared with the poor, the fatherless, the widows, and the foreigners who were living in the land of Israel. And this is what that law stated it had to be go toward. Now let's get to the meat. So that was the law. Now let's get to the meat. There is something unique to tithing. Something really unique that is only found. It's not found anywhere else in Scripture, nowhere else in the Bible, except this one unique thing that applies to tithing. Tithing is the only exclusive act that God gives us his full permission to test him in. It's the only, there is nowhere else in Scripture, nowhere else from Genesis to Revelation, that God gives us permission, gives us the go-ahead, the all-clear, and says, yeah, go ahead and put me to the test on this. Nowhere else in Scripture does it say that except in tithing. That's the only time where God says, yeah, put me to the test. And so this permission, if you actually go back to when this permission was given, when God actually gave this to the people, it was first given during a time when Israel had stopped tithing. They actually, as a nation, said they're going to stop giving, they're going to stop tithing. And so it was during this period, and what we see was that the temple was falling to pieces, the priests had become corrupt, the poor were hungry, and the people of Israel were crying out to God. They were saying, do something, O God. And God told them, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not even be enough room to store it. If you are not tithing, God is saying, test me. Test me. He's saying it. Test me. Having doubts about your faith, he says, test me in this. You're not sure that I'm real? Test me in this. You're experiencing hardships? Test me in this. Friends, our God is not distant. He's not separate. He's not over there. He is here with us, and he's willing to put his word to the test. I mean, praise God that he is. He says, you don't believe? Then test me. Test me. And so the question is, are we technically, legally obligated to tithe under the law of Moses? Right, here we are, years of later, we're living what I would call in the New Testament. And so we would say, well, Captain, are we still legally obligated to tithe according to the law of Moses? And the answer, my friends, is no, we are not. I know everyone just kind of leaned back a little bit. That may have surprised you. But the truth is, no. We're not legally obligated by the law of Moses to tithe. But remember, in fact, we're not legally obligated to do so because Jesus gave us only one path to heaven. Only one. But remember, Jesus did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. Let me tell you what he did. Jesus took tithing from a legal obligation and he made it a matter of the heart. He says, I don't want your legal obligation. He says, but I am really interested in your heart, though. I'm really interested in that. In fact, that's what I came for. That right there. Test me in this and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven. Now, the second type of giving that we hear quite often is offering, right? So usually on a Sunday morning, we come up and we say, all right, it's now time to give our tithes and our offering. And then, you know, the band plays an offertory, in fact. We even have that as a part of our service. But an offering is, I mean, it's different than a tithe. It's not the same thing. Biblically speaking, an offering is a voluntary gift given beyond the tithe. So it's separate from the tithe. So biblically speaking, a tithe is to be given to the church, right, as a sacrifice, as a ways to provide for the ministries of the church and for the provision and all this sort of thing. But an offering could be used for anything. Anything. There's no biblical restriction to an offering. In fact, there is no law anywhere mandating that you have to give an offering. There's no mandate for that. In fact, a great example of what I'm talking about can actually be found in Exodus 35. You see, particularly here in Exodus 35, God was spending some time with Moses around this time, and God instructed Moses. He told him, listen, you've been wandering around the desert for a little while. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and build a tabernacle. In fact, he gave him the plans, he gave him the size, the dimension, everything. All this, he said, I want you to build this tabernacle, and I want you to make that the place of worship. And he says, but I have one caveat. This is what he says in Exodus 35. He says, I have one thing I want you to do this way. Okay, you got it, got what you need. I want you to go down there, and it can only be built from those who make an offering. There is no obligation from anyone in the nation of Israel to give or participate in the construction of this temple or this tabernacle. And so he says to him, it can only be from their offering, not their tithe, but their offering. And so we read in Exodus 35 that Moses goes down to the people and says, listen, God has given us great vision. He's given us great plans. He's laid it all out. But here's what we have to do to make this a reality. And so he goes and tells the people that out of an offering, either supply or for whatever it is, but we can build it from our offerings. And so he went and asked for a free will gift from the people of Israel. And so the scripture says that the people responded and they had enough to build the tabernacle. And so they built it. This might be the first instance that we ever hear of a building fund or a capital campaign. Here is in Exodus 35. It wasn't from the tithe, it was from the offering. Now, usually, an offering is given from our overflow. With, you know, usually when we make an offering, we have no expectation to get anything in return. This is the point of an offering, is that I offer it, but I'm not expecting anything in return. It's not an investment, right? It's not anything like that where I want something back. That's not what it is. It's an offering. And so I'm not putting them in this box, but they could look like maybe supporting a specific ministry or a nonprofit, you know, that you want to help out with, that sort of thing. Or it could be missions. Right, we're collecting for World Services, these sorts of things. That's an offering. It could be a church project, a band fund, or youth councils, or anything like that. This could be an offering. Or it could be paying somebody else's rent for a month. Or buying them groceries, because you know they can't. Filling up their tank. You see, these types of giving are never an obligation. I'm not obligated to do that. It's an offering. It's just an offering. Now, the third and the final form of giving that we're talking about today is sacrificial. Sacrificial. This is a different type of giving. This is a different type, almost in an all separate category. This is meant to be a deeply personal and costly form of giving, which expresses through faith, obedience, and total reliance on God. That's what this is. Sacrificial giving is going, this hurts. I think it's actually what it really means when we say give until it hurts. Now, there's no telling what this could look like. I don't have a list of things. Well, this is what that looks like. It looks like this, or when you do that, or when you do that. Because, honestly, it could be anything. It could be anything. Because sacrificial giving isn't about the thing, whatever it is. It's about the heart. This is the purpose of sacrificial giving. And I'm going to tell you, is I don't think that every act of giving is meant to be at this level. I don't think every moment, like sometimes we get in our head that giving means that I'm supposed to like give until I can't give, you know, like it's this deep kind of pocket kind of thing. No. I don't believe that actually every act of giving is supposed to be at a sacrificial level. I don't think our tithe necessarily is always going to be a sacrificial level, or our offering is going to be a sacrificial level. Because if every gift, every point, every time I gave, if I was at that set, it would just be like, I can't do it. I mean, so I think these are reserved for times when God is looking and saying, it's time. There's something there. There are going to be times when God is going to ask for something really hard. Really hard. And it's going to test your faith. It's going to test it. And it's going to test your obedience to Him. And listen to me now. It may not always be your pocketbook. God is bigger than the dollars in our bank account. Okay? When He comes, it isn't just going to be, here, give this dollar figure. It might be. But what I'm saying is that giving to Him is beyond that. He will come, I promise, He will come, and He's going to ask for something really hard. He's going to say, I want you to give to this. I want you to give like this. And you're going to say, okay. He says, I know more. I want you to give more. Okay, yeah, okay. More. Okay. More. More. And you're going to get to the point where you say, God, I can't give anymore. If I give more, I don't know where my next meal is going to come from. I can't give more. And He says, I know. But I do. I know. And the point of sacrificial giving at this level of giving, it's often, it's not the thing. So it's fascinating. It's not the thing. At least I don't think that God is going over. It's often the last stronghold that our heart has to battle for us to fully believe in Him. Like, I think that we sometimes say, yeah, I think we're really, I believe in this portion of God, or I believe in this much of God, I believe it. But when it comes to the form of giving and participating in worship in this way, whatever it is, then I think that's the long stronghold that's over our heart that has to bow. And it's often the last thing that we are holding on to before we completely say that we are all in. I mean, we hold on to it and say, you know, I've worked too hard for this, God. This is how I provide for my family. I have to save for retirement. My kids are going to college. What do you want from me? And finally, there is a point in every believer's life, every single one. There's a point where we just go all in. We just say, we go take a deal. It's like we just go and say, and then we just breathe out and then we give it to it before we finally submit everything to Him. And listen, I want you to hear this. God is not interested in your demise. That's not why He's saying, I need you just to go and just be broken. I like you that way. That's not what this is. That's not what God is doing. He's not interested, but He is interested in your heart. In your heart. Because, my friends, the reality is this. We can't grow unless we're uncomfortable. That's the only way. I don't know how else to package that one. We can't grow unless we're uncomfortable. I want you to think back right now into all of your lives. Think back to a moment where you felt like you had a significant growth in your life. You know, you came out of something like, ooh, man, I'm a better person because of it. And when you think of that moment, was it surrounded by all of the wonderful and great things that were going on in your life? Or was it surrounded by a hardship? Or in the middle of it, when you were experiencing it, you could not actually see the other side. It was not visible to you. But on this side of things, you look back and say, but man, I came out of that new. Friends, this is what God has in store for us, is to grow in Him. To grow in Him. And part of that, not all of it, part of it is our giving. And so I'm going to ask our pianists to come up here. And so this morning, I just want to ask, where is your heart this morning? Where is your heart this morning? There's giving and this sort of thing is one of those topics that's like, well, it's not my favorite. It's not like the funnest thing, I guess you can say. But it is a part of our faith journey. Make no mistake of that. And so many times, in fact, since I've become a father, since I've, you know, been able to sit and watch my kids grow, and when we sit around that table and we start to go and I start chasing after their fries and I start doing all this other stuff, I really have started to look and examine that kind of, we're like children sometimes. You know, I kind of see, where do I see myself in giving and my participation in this? You know, maybe we give the tithe, maybe that's fine, maybe the offer, the sacrificial giving, whatever it is. But what I want to tell you this morning is that there is place in your life for giving. And oftentimes, God uses our moments of deep growth to change the outcome of somebody else's life. I want you to give, but it's going to hurt me. Well, I got something for you. But this is going to change everything for them. And those moments there. We're just going to sing this chorus. I'll open the altar. If there's anything you want to respond to, by all means, I encourage you to do that. But I do want to sing this chorus. And it's a chorus that was already sung today. It was actually sung by the Songsters. And we're just going to reprise that time. Let's sing this morning. So the answer to this final question is, does the Bible say that I should give? The answer is yes. Not under obligatory law of the Moses in the Old Testament that says you no. Yes, because I believe what Jesus did for me. And I can show that through physical action to others, through the act of giving. Let's sing that chorus just one last time. Have some homework. Go and spend a moment with the Lord and ask Him to evaluate. Ask Him to speak to you. Ask Him to dive in with you and to say, Lord, am I participating in your kingdom the way that I should? And if you have that with Him, He'll respond. Father, we just pray and we just ask again for your undoubting presence. That, Lord, in the act of our giving, your scripture says to test you in this. And, Lord, you have proven yourself time and time again. And so, Father, because of that, we still stand in the presence of you and your Son, Jesus, fully believing the power and the authority in which you're capable of. We thank you for your Son and what he did for the cross for us. And, Lord, we know in time that we'll be united with you in glory and in kingdom and heaven. But on this earth, while we are still here, Father, bring us into the kingdom and participate. Open our hearts, Lord, and to give. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.